I will call the meeting to order at 7:00 PM. Please stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do we have any additions or corrections to the agenda?
I have none.
Motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Consent agenda.
Okay, your consent agenda, you have the minutes from our last meeting, and then you have three sets of payables that were done during March, and then you also have the year-to-date budget in there. The only couple of things I wanted to point out with the expenses, there is some training and travel throughout, you know, different departments, different employees, and then there's some annual memberships that were paid. There, Joe? The golf course does have a, they purchased a refrigerator, ice maker. That's in there. Yeah, that's about it.
Motion to approve consent agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Public forum. Do we have anybody that would like to speak through public forum? Public forum? Moving on. Notices and communications.
You have a couple items from the league that should have been in your envelope. That's all I have.
Council reports. We did not meet, the golf course advisory board did not meet last, and the personnel committee, we've been, well, we'll talk about that here in a little bit. Ivan?
Park Road would like to replace the windows down there. We have the money that we can pay for them, but in order to put them in, we need a construction loan of some type that can pay as we go. We can't get the money from HUD until the project is completed. So the contractor won't start the project without down payment or earnest money. In visiting with the lenders here, they said that they would need collateral. Park Road Board does not own the building. The city of Janesville owns the building completely free of debt. So at some place, we need to investigate if we can use that building against the project. So.
Gotcha.
We were at EDA here the other day and discussed quite a few things briefly. I can't think of one big item that we really went over, so.
Thank you.
Park Board did not meet. Planning Commission, excuse me, met a couple weeks ago. There was just a lot of talk about how we could improve different methods to bring more businesses into town, looking for grants to potentially improve our infrastructure so that we don't have to wait for somebody to make an offer. We're just ready to go when they want to come in. So just kind of a lot of pipe dreams and maybes and possibilities.
We meet Thursday.
Thursday?
Yep, Thursday we meet.
All right. Moving on. I mean, you have the administrator report, but that's golf course, so is it?
Oh.
Kind of a typo, but.
Hey, that's a typo. Okay, I'll give the administrator report. In your packet is the March reconciliation. You also have the cash balance and graphs dated last Friday. The local board of appeal and equalization, that's where you come to your county and discuss your evaluation. That meeting for the city of Janesville will be next Tuesday from 1 to 3 p.m. at the courthouse. Midco, this Thursday at the park here across the street, they're going to host an open house, kind of a ceremonial first dig for their project that they're going to be working on this year. That'll be at the park here at 2 p.m. And then also the Moondogs did reach out, and I asked the EDA last week. They're interested in hosting a Janesville night out again at the Moondogs game. This would be our fourth year that we've done it. So I'm getting some dates and stuff with them right now. And last but not least, the update from the coalition has some kind of first half legislative updates in there. If you read through that, you can see how we're getting so much accomplished in St. Paul. That's all I have.
Motion to approve administrator report.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Staff reports.
We got the golf course tonight for department heads.
Jacob.
So official open date for the course was March 25th this year, so we've been open a few weeks. It's been a really good first few weeks with the weather. We've only had to maybe close a couple days in there, so it's been awesome. I think we're up to 266 members right now, and we are still signing people up. I got about five or six in the stack right now that called in tonight and stuff like that. So we are well on our way to where our memberships usually are. A couple things we did have to do was ice maker died and our big beer cooler died. So both those had to just get replaced right before we opened. So, but they're both installed, working great. We actually have a secondary smaller ice maker up by the bar too to keep up with ice. The last one sounds like did not keep up very well, especially tournament days, things like that. So we have a big one downstairs and then a smaller one to try to keep up just with drinks and stuff that's right there. So all I have, Jacob.
I have a question. You were doing memberships where people could pay like half now and half mid-year. How is the bookkeeping being done on that? Is it being, are you charging for half now and half later?
So there's been a couple that asked to do half and half. Most are doing like a three-payment plan. So they put a third down on May 31st, then we will run their credit card on May 31st for that next third, and then August 31st we run the next one. So they give us a credit card that we keep on file in our system through the software system.
My question comes in my looking through the membership. The dollar amount is down from the previous year.
Well, it might be part that we don't have all the memberships that we've already sold to. If you're looking at like a full year, I know we're probably going to sell at least another 50 to
25. That's my question, is how it was being done.
Yep. So as we've opened the doors, I mean, every day I'm selling memberships yet too right now. So I don't see that slowing down anytime because some people aren't even, they're not even come off to the first round yet, that kind of thing. Leagues start next week. This week, Thursday, we'll do senior league. I'm feeling few of those might come in and do memberships, and then next week with the men's league. We got 120 guys signed up for Monday night league and 100 guys signed up for Tuesday night league, so I have a feeling there'll be quite a few memberships with that stretch coming in that they haven't gotten yet too. So
thank you.
Yep. Anything else?
All right, so kind of a big thing for us, it really started last fall, but was
some ash tree removal. We got started on that last fall. Kind of lost track, but I would estimate we cut down maybe 50 ash trees last fall, so we're still cleaning up some of that. You know, there's still a lot of stumps out there to take care of and patch the turf in, but so that's something we're working on right now. Something we've been discussing with JAGA a little bit, possibly a rain shelter replacement. We used to have two. We tore one down a couple years ago. It was just in rough shape, couldn't fix it. The one that's left is kind of in the same boat. It's original to the property. So we're discussing replacing that, and hopefully we'll get some help from JAGA on that. We've got it in the budget this year to replace the siding on the building. That also is original to the building. Still getting bids on that. Hopefully they'll be coming in the next couple of weeks, and we'll put together some kind of plan. Last thing I'd like to mention is just how good of a job Kevin's doing. I think he's really doing a nice job, making some good changes. He's well received by the members, very well organized. I think he's doing a good job, so it's a pleasure working with him.
Great to hear.
Anything else?
How much did he pay you to say that?
I think this is the first time I've been in front of the council since he's been hired, so I felt I had to sneak that in there.
Are you going to replace the trees that you're taking out?
It's kind of up for discussion, but it certainly won't be like a one for one.
Has it opened up the course a lot?
It has, but I would say in a beneficial way, almost.
Okay.
You know, we've discussed like replacing five trees. We cut down 50, and maybe we'll replace five sort of important ones. But yeah, it certainly won't be a one for one.
Okay.
So yeah, we're still putting a plan together on that too. But yeah, it's not the highest priority right now, I guess. So
yeah. I was just wondering how it looked.
I'll
get out there and check it out.
The ones that were already embedded in where you wouldn't even.
I mean, if you know much about the golf course, a lot of the ash trees I don't believe were intended on being there,
right.
like by the architect. So a lot of them won't be missed. And that's maybe my opinion, but
Anything else for Jacob?
You've got the shelter and the siding. I know the deck out there has just been repaired shortly.
Just a few years ago.
And a roof.
Yep.
And it seems like all these items are bunched together, which is normal with a new course. It all wears out at the same time, but it would help if things could be spaced.
Right. I mean, that is our intention. We've kind of been plugging away at it over the last few years. Siding is this kind of this year's project. I think there's a roof we'll have to look at. There's quite a few things we're going to have to look at over the next few years. And, yeah, I think each year we'll have to try to pick something out. And, on a list of importance, just start replacing things. And, everything's about 30 years old right now, and it just... No more life left in a lot of it, so.
Very good.
Thank you.
So if you look at the staff reports, the first two items tonight relate to the bond that we are taking out for the electric improvements. George Eilertson from Northland was going to be here tonight. He planned on coming down, but I talked to him mid-afternoon due to the weather. He thought it was probably better if he stayed home, so I'm going to call him, and he's going to kind of walk through those first couple items with us, if you're okay with that.
Yeah,
So just get them on speakerphone here.
Hello, Clinton.
Hello, George. You are on speakerphone in front of the world.
Hey, fantastic. I hope the weather is okay down there. I was just seeing some tornado warnings. So. You're all okay, right?
So far.
Okay. Well, thank you for the time here, and Mayor and Council, George Allison here from Northland Securities. And sorry I couldn't be with you tonight, but you know, sometimes weather gets in the way. But a couple different items on your agenda this evening, and I'll hit the highlights here and then certainly address any questions you may have. So the first is debt management policy, and that's something that a lot of cities throughout Minnesota that get bond ratings are adopting, and that is a policy which kind of serves as a driver or kind of a policy, if you will, for debt consideration. Gives you some limitations on debt, gives you structuring practices, etc. And Mayor and Council, I can go through this and hit some of the highlights and then certainly address any questions. It is good that a community would have a debt management policy. When recently Clinton and Andrea and I were on a bond rating call with Standard & Poor's, they asked about what policies and procedures do you have, such as a debt management policy, an investment policy, fund balance policy, etc. And so the more of these that you have, you get another checkbox in the management score. So, Clinton, if you've got this up on the screen, I'll actually have you go to page 2. At the top, it should say debt limits.
Okay, just one second here. Taking spabs here. Okay.
It's on the bottom there.
Bottom of the first page. Debt limits.
Yep. So, again, Mayor Council, I'll just hit some of the highlights here in respect to your time. So, a few of these items that are noted in here are, you know, right out of Minnesota state statutes. For example, under debt limits, under A, it's just referencing a number of the statutes that Minnesota municipalities issue bonds under. Chapter 479 is the key statute that everything kind of starts with. And then you have different authority beyond that, depending upon what type of revenue source, what kind of project that you have. So the policy, here's where they want to see that you have defined some parameters. So for example, B, debt shall not be issued for capital projects or assets with a useful life less than 5 years. Now that's typically the case for most municipalities. I mean, you might have some public works equipment, public safety equipment that might be close to useful life of that. I know patrol or squad cars sometimes have a shorter life, but as a general practice, you want to be issuing for things that have a longer useful life than 5 years. C, you should not be funding current operations, and that would be an issue. That would be a red flag to any rating agency. If you are funding, you need to issue debt just to get through the school or get through the calendar year that is. Under D, this is what's called the statutory debt limit. You're limited to 3% of the market, overall market value within your city. So that's some of the kind of starting parameters that you have in your policy. Debt structuring practices next. The term of the bond shall not exceed the useful life of the asset. So for example, if we were financing a new building for public works, you know, just to pick an example, and that had a useful life of 10 years, and I know that's certainly not the case that buildings would exceed that, but you had bonds that were issued for 30 years. I mean, that'd be an example of something where you should be either matching up the useful life or shorter than the useful life of the asset. So Just a little bit of debt structuring under D, call features. That's what's called the redemption feature. We'll make sure that we have those in the bonds that we issue with you. That's where you can prepay or refinance if market conditions are favorable. Under E, you'll issue fixed rate debt, not variable debt. Variable rate debt would be where you're tied to an index and maybe it's tied to, say, the 10-year treasury, and you're fixed for 5 years, and then it resets to the treasury market. Minnesota municipalities typically don't issue that type of debt. They issue a fixed rate bond issue like you'd be considering this evening. I'll jump ahead here a little bit, Clinton, to the next page. And this is, again, just a little bit more hitting some of the key highlights under B, if that's the page that we're on. It talks about bond ratings that will engage at least one of the three major rating agencies when you have the consideration of new debt. Certainly, next C, bond counsel, that's not your city attorney, but every time we do a bond, there's a specialized attorney that provides an opinion that you can issue tax-exempt debt. That's what bond counsel refers to. And just gives a couple of parameters for if you ever consider refunding bonds. We haven't had the opportunity to do refunding bonds here in the most recent several years because the market conditions haven't been favorable, but certainly that's something we keep in touch with your staff. Debt management practices, this is the first section is talking about investment of proceeds, meaning that you'll want to make sure that you put at closing the bond proceeds into an interest-bearing account, and so that speaks to that. Under D is something called continuing disclosure, and the city engages Northland to do this for you on an annual basis. Continuing disclosure means that we provide financial information to the broader investment public so that if they ever have a question about buying City of Janesville bonds on the secondary market, and bonds trade just like stocks on the secondary market, so they can look up this information just to see information about the City of Janesville. C is what's called arbitrage rebate. That's where, now you typically don't have bonds that are subject to this. What arbitrage rebate means, counsel, is that if you are borrowing at, say, 4%, but the investment yields in the current market are such that you can earn more than 4%, the interest earnings above what you're borrowing at is called positive arbitrage. And so the SEC governs that. You are exempt from that when you issue bonds in a calendar year less than $5 million. So Janesville has more often than not, in fact, I think you've always issued bonds exempt from that because they'd be less than $5 million. But nonetheless, you want to put that in your policy. The bottom of that, item E, talks about the city will maintain a separate post-issuance compliance policy. You're way ahead of the curve on this. You approved post-issuance compliance policies in 2012. So that was done long ago. You don't have to do that with every bond issue. You just have to do that once. And that's basically just saying those are policies that govern bonds after they're issued. And you know, how long do you keep records in place, things of that nature. So the next page, Clinton, talks about conduit debt, for example. Conduit debt is probably not something that you've had brought to your attention that often, although certainly it may have been done. And that's where 501c3 entities, oftentimes it's health care related or senior housing, they can't issue tax-exempt bonds on their own. They have to go through a municipality. So that's what conduit debt is known as, is that you might issue on behalf of a 501c3 issuer, but it might be in your name, but it's not your debt. So that's a little explanation on conduit debt. And certainly, if you as the city ever get approached by a conduit issuer, Clinton, Andrea, just make sure you get in touch with us. We'll kind of guide you through that process. And then I'll just note one more item at the closing here. It's the reimbursement bond summary is listed at the end of your policy. What reimbursement bonds mean is that, and actually this is something the city has done before, sometimes the timing of when you get bond proceeds and when you have your first invoices presented to you on a project don't always sync up. Sometimes you get invoices where you don't have your money yet, so you got to use your cash reserves. And so that's really what reimbursement section is talking about, where if you approve a resolution, or what's called a reimbursement resolution, you can pay for an expense with your fund balance, if you will, and then reimburse yourself at a later date with the proceeds of a tax-exempt bond. So if you don't have that resolution approved, you kind of don't have the opportunity to do that. So it's important, and your staff, city, is very versed in this. We regularly talk about this as part of a new bond issuance. So this is a good practice for the city, or a good policy, rather. I know I went through that rather quickly, Mayor and Council, but it's good to have a policy adopted. You know, just like in the past, you would have done a fund balance policy saying maintain so much in a reserve or an investment policy, etc. This is kind of managing your debt, and when you have projects, we just want to make sure that we adhere to these policies. There's nothing too onerous in here. It's really just kind of making sure that you're aware of some of the statutory limitations and, you know, stating some items like that we're not going to issue beyond the useful life of a project. So any questions, Mayor or Council, on the policy?
I think you covered most of it for us, or anything I can think of.
Okay, good. So that, and actually, it's when we had this recent moderating call relative to the bond that you have on your agenda tonight, we brought up that you have this in draft form, that it's going to be considered at your April 13th meeting. Certainly, the next time you have a project, which, you know, potentially would be a street project in 2027, this would be a final version that we would provide to the rating agency, and you'd have credit for approving this policy. So what I would just recommend, Mayor, is that the, you know, motion, there's no resolution, there's just this regard, just a motion to approve the policy.
All motion to approve the policy.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you, Mayor and Council.
Thank you.
If that's okay, could I go right into the next item?
Yes, I have the bond sale summary, and I printed that out and gave them a copy of it. I also have it on the big screen.
Okay. Before I do that, I thought I would just touch briefly, and we don't even have to pull this up. I'll just refer to this. As part of issuing the bonds, I worked with Clinton and Andrea on the assignment of a bond rating for the city. This city has recently been rated A+, and that's been with the rating agency Standard & Poor's. And so the outcome of the rating, well, first of all, they provided questions to Clinton, Andrea, and I, and they provided a lot of background information ahead of the call. And so the outcome of the rating process was that they affirmed the city's A+ rating, but then usually it's an A+ with a stable outlook. In this regard, Council, they assigned an A+ with a negative outlook. I'll give a little positive twist to this. We stayed at the A+ level, as opposed to, you know, in the A category, Council, there's, with Standard & Poor's, there's A-, which is at the bottom of the A category. Then there's A, and then there's A plus, which is at the top of the A category. And then above the A plus is the double A category. So we stayed at the A plus, but we have a negative outlook. Now, the negative outlook was assigned because the city dipped beneath its fund balance policy. And so that was noted certainly in the rating report that you have a policy that says that you will maintain 40% of the upcoming budget year expenditures. And so you basically between 4 and 6 months in reserve. And just with conservative budgeting, I think there was less than anticipated building permit revenues and a little bit lower state aid. That resulted in a little bit lower fund balance for the city. So that's why the negative outlook occurred. What they do say with a negative outlook is that it reflects their view that there's a 1 in 3 chance that deficits could persist and that the potential that they would downgrade the city thereafter. Now, Andrea and Clinton did a great job of following up this information and actually preventing a downgrade from occurring because they provided information that the city has taken corrective action already to, over a 2-year plan, build back the reserves. And so, Council, that's an important step, and I want to just make sure that it's emphasized strongly here that keeping your nose above that minimum layer or the floor of your fund balance policy is very important. In the case of Janesville, we're talking about raising it from about $850,000 up to in the ballpark of about $900,000. So it's not like we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars that you need to lift your fund balance by. It's $50,000 to, say, $70,000 of replenishing reserves. So Mayor Council, I just wanted to point that out. Certainly, there's other items that are mentioned in the rating report, such as the growth that's occurring in the county, your proximity to Mankato, and so those are all positives. So I think staying the course is very good, with the exception of kind of making sure that you do like what Clinton and Andrea said of staying on a plan to build back reserves over the coming years. And I think that's important. In that regard, what we'll likely see happen is that negative outlook with that A-plus rating backed up to a stable outlook. Any questions on that, Mayor or Council?
Nope.
Okay. Great. Thank you. And I should say, hey, it's not all gloom and doom here. So, getting the A-plus rating assigned allowed us to go out similar to 2024 when we issued the first round of financing similar to this for the utility. That A-plus rating was assigned then, and then we were able to go out and get what's called bond insurance. And getting bond insurance is, to an investor that buys your bonds, they're guaranteed the return of principal and interest on your bonds. So that's what insurance provides. What that does is it lifts your rating from that A-plus up 2 notches to a AA rating. And because of that, it helps to drive the interest rate down movement. So, Mayor and Council, I'll then refer to the bond sale summary that Clinton may have up on the screen. You may have a hard copy of it as well. And so what I just stated, if you looked at page 2, which is more of the summary, you basically see that there, that we've got an overall financing term of 20 years that the assignment of A plus under results, A plus was assigned with that double A rating, EGF assured guarantee.
Sorry, folks.
Was there
No, you keep going, George.
Okay. Final maturity, like I said, 20 years out to 2040. Optional call, counsel, I referred to that earlier as redemption. That's what, you know, if there's a drop in interest rates in the marketplace, which of course over time there can be, any principal that's maturing after 2034 and out to the final maturity in 2045 can be refinanced or prepaid. And so that's, I mean, in your case, there's about $2.8 million of principal, or about 70% of the bond is after the call date. So that's important that we keep an eye on that going forward. Closing date, the date that funds will hit the city's account is May 7th. So that's noteworthy there. I really appreciate working a lot with Lincoln and Andrea on this one, because it, you know, we did a little bit of structured the debt in such a way that can maximize the proceeds to the city and utility for the project. And then also it makes it what I would say is more likely that we can refinance these bonds in the future and achieve a savings then. So, Mayor, Council, I can certainly address any questions that you have.
Nope, we're good.
I think we got it.
I hope that's not the tornado, sir.
Yeah.
That you have then this evening relative to the bonds is there was a resolution that was sent down from the bond attorney. The only action relative to that is approval of that. On page one, Mayor, there's a paragraph that starts the resolution for the issuance. That's really the key section there as a motion in the voting thereafter.
Is it this resolution 2026-08?
Yeah, you don't have the resolution in your folder because we received it at like 11 today.
So do you want me to make a motion to adopt this one then? Done, so I'll make that motion.
Second.
Okay, George, I'm hanging up on you, dude.
All right, yeah, and just like we talked about, and like I said, if somebody was just saying, hey, if you just approve resolution blank, I know you fed the numbers earlier, Clint, that's really the only action needed on that resolution. So.
All right. Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Be safe, everybody.
All right.
Thank you.
See ya.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Passes 4-0.
I believe that warning was for south of us.
Yes.
I just got to fill this. It was here, and he was
going. I can do that with, like, on a typewriter.
Sorry.
You're okay. That's no, I can just type them all tomorrow.
Right.
I'll type them.
So this is...
Usually they say so.
Am I signing this my question?
Keep going. I think it's yellow.
Oh!
No voice.
Yeah.
She didn't say anything to mine either.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Kennedy just sent me radar.
Warning, we're on our way to Oz.
Moving on.
You got the names? The motions? I
yep.
Missed it, okay. All right, we have a couple more items under admin. Letter C. Ivan, would you like to... You requested at our last council meeting?
I brought this up at the last meeting. I know there's a small number of cities across the state of Minnesota have gone back to the old flag. For me, the old flag wasn't put in place properly. The citizens were allowed the opportunity to design a new flag. They kind of picked their top winner, went back into committee, was changed severely, and we ended up having to take the one we have now. It was never approved by anybody formally. So I would like to see us go back to using the old state flag. And I'll make that a motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. 4-0. Thanks, Ivan.
Yep.
Moving on.
Letter D, the consumption display permit for the bowling alley, since there's the setup arrangements at the bowling alley. Dan Size is required to have a consumption and display permit. We do this every year. He paid the fee. The information was filled out, sent to the state. We're waiting for it to come back from the state. So if you could make a motion approving this permit contingent upon it coming back from the state.
I'll make a motion approving permit contingent upon state approval.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. This is 4-0.
Make sure you get something to hang on the wall.
Yes, please.
I believe so, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
What now?
I said make sure he gets something he can hang on the wall.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Songs in the Park.
Yes, we've recently received three different contributions for the Songs in the Park. So they're in resolution number 10 there for you.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Resolution 10.
Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Passes 4-0. Public safety.
Okay, we do have a couple items to talk about here as far as the police department. As you all know, Steve Johnson has resigned as the police chief. That was effective Friday, April 3rd. Did I say that right? Yep, Friday, April 3rd. Attached in the packet is his resignation letter. If we could have a motion to accept this resignation letter, that is the first step.
I'll make a motion to accept the resignation from Chief Johnson.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Second step, we need to announce that as a personnel committee discussed, Mark Vanderwilt is now our acting police chief until we hire a chief. That's all you needed? That's all the BCA needed?
You can give a speech.
How long of a speech is this?
We want to do that right now?
Yeah.
We've got a plaque here that we'd like to give to Steve. He's definitely earned that. Just on behalf of the city, for 24 years of dedicated service to the town and community members, and very appreciative of that.
Shake his hand again. I did not get a good picture.
You
were
mayor.
Too quick. Thank you.
Hang on, guys.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Did you get a picture, Mike?
I did.
Do we need a motion to hire Mark in that position?
On what?
To.
For Mark?
For Mark.
I don't think. You want? If you want to make a motion, do it.
I'll make a motion.
Yeah. Better, because I think they asked him for the council minutes. Showing that he was
approved. Okay, so motion has been made to name Mark Vanderwilt as acting chief.
Second.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 4-0.
All right, and then the final thing to discuss with the police chief opening is the personnel committee did meet. We talked about the process, the steps we'll go through to find that chief. We said, man. The personnel committee suggested we follow the exact same process as we did when Dave Ullman retired. I did talk to the individuals that were part of the interview panel, and they're all willing to serve on the interview panel. So we'll have representatives from the school, Sheriff Dulas will be here on the interview committee, and then the Council of Governments will also help. If you're okay with that, if I could just have a motion to follow the same process as a couple years ago, and then I can get, you know, contacting the newspapers and whatnot to get the ads in.
I'll make a motion to follow the procedure that you followed last time.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
4-0. All right, thank you. Last but not least,
Joe has patiently been sitting here. Now it's his turn.
Too afraid to go home.
Looking at some quotes for a columbarium at the cemetery.
Yeah, as I discussed with you guys at a previous meeting, we've had some inquiries into getting a columbarium installed out at the cemetery. Do you have a picture? Or do you guys have pictures in your packets?
Yeah.
Just to kind of see what we're talking about. Went to a couple different companies, got a couple different numbers, different models. Two of the comparable ones are from Cold Spring. I think that is the actual Cold Spring unit pictured there. Six rows across, four rows high. Just kind of a basic starter columbarium. You know, what we're looking at is something, if it catches on, that we can keep adding as we move forward in the future. Price tags on this one, $48,093 from Cold Spring. Now keep in mind I plan on doing the foundation work. So from that $48,000, deduct $7,300. So about $40,771 just for the unit itself. That's not any of the other prep work. And then from the other company, which is the exact same columbarium, it'll be $42,175 all without the foundation. We would do the foundation prep work. Just a couple different color options that's available. And as you can see in that picture, another thing we have to decide is etched front plates versus bronze, versus a bronze plate. I would recommend a bronze plate. That way, when someone passes, they can just get the plate ordered and we can attach it directly to the front rather than taking the front off, mailing it off to get etched, then mailing it back and then getting installed. That's the first two kind of comparable quotes, but I wanted to get another one presented too. It's from one of the same companies that Create a Legacy. It's for a basic, kind of the same model. It's a 48-niche columbarium. But the thing that I like about this one, I don't know if you have a picture of that one. It's the Nelson, but it's going to look very similar. I mean, they're big granite blocks. One thing I like about this one is it's the ability to put two urns in one space. Mm-hmm. So basically it's called a 4896. The other two I already talked about are only one urn per space. So what's really attractive about this one is just the construction of it. The niches are a little bigger. And the price for that is, after pre-drilling for bronze plates, they'll pre-drill for whatever bronze plate we want to affix to these things. So that with no foundation, it's going to be at $25,691. That's delivered and installed on a slab that we have prepared. Any questions on those right now?
Go ahead.
Okay, so I was curious, when you're talking the 4896 and two urns, that would be for like family burials, if not like we can sell two separate families to one space or?
Right, one urn, yeah, per person.
Okay.
Yeah, and, but it's in the Nelson, this one for 25, it's, you can put two urns in one spot. Yeah, yeah, husband and wife or whatever have you. So that's what makes that one a little more attractive, in my opinion. But Jeff, Ivan, you had a question?
Yeah, I noticed in the Cold Spring specs, item number 9 is you have to be able to get a 70-foot-long trailer into the cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been taught that you can't take a trailer with you when you go. But getting a 70-foot semi-trailer into the cemetery is not going to be easy.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, it's a narrow county road, and if that's something where, yeah, we have to get payloaders involved or what have you to get that thing off of there, would have to be something to be discussed, yeah.
What's Mike? The cost to bury somebody one of these compared to a lot?
Actually, when all said and done, pretty comparable.
Are they?
Mm-hmm. A lot of the ones in the area, cemeteries that did some checking around, most of them for one niche, whatever we're going to say it, $2,000 for just the spot, plus about $500 for a bronze plate, whereas your traditional burials are, what are we at, $400, I think, for a plot, then, you know, $400 to the cemetery, or the funeral home, and digger to mark it and dig it, and then you got stone, and that, so it all adds up. And depending on options, of course.
What the payback was compared to a lot versus...
Right, right. And that's the other thing. A lot of people are putting these in, you know, because they're running out of space. Well, we have space out there, but I just wanted to let you know that we do have space, but there have been inquiries into some of these alternatives, too. So that's why I wanted to bring it forward and see if there's any interest. So,
do you have any thoughts versus the granite versus granite plastic on these?
Just from who people I've talked to, the full granite construction, which was on like the Nelson, is kind of ideal. Just lasts and it's all the same and just looks nicer. Good. Yeah, because that's one thing, like with that Cold Spring model, like you just said, it's, where does it say, it's concrete and polystyrene enclosures. With a granite front, whereas this other one, it's full, all granite construction.
You said you were just, we're only going to do the bronze plates, like this one says you can do black doors?
Yeah, just for ease, I think bronze plates, because you could just call them, say this is what we want on them, and that would be a family expense. That wouldn't be part of the upfront cost.
So I'm looking here as the cemetery fund has just under $80,000. So you're talking of running that down about halfway?
Yep, maybe all said and done after foundation. If we go with the, you know, the $25,000 model with, obviously you want to do a little landscaping and stuff around it and dress it up nice. And
now, I know you said you wanted to do the cement work yourself. I know you're thinking you're going to save some money, but there's enough road projects in town to keep your crew busy besides mowing the grass.
Yeah.
So I'd ask you to reconsider that.
That would be, yeah, from $25,691. If we go with that model, it would be, you know, $29,572 with the pre-drilling included for bronze plates. Yeah.
What do you recommend, Joe?
If it were me, my recommendation would be move forward with like a Nelson, the Nelson model, with bronze plates. It's just, these are some of the examples of the bronze plates.
then you could put the two names on there, and then you just add the, screw the dates on whenever they...
Is there a particular color that everybody leans towards?
So,
or do we want to just do the white so it blends into the snowbank?
So the colors, you have the, that sheet with the four, colors.
I recommend something similar to this with kind of a white granite outline with a brown door. Look, something very similar to that.
I gotta find that. I know it's here. There we go.
Yeah, so for that model, the Nelson model, and you can do the white granite exterior with a brown, harvest brown door. And that kind of looks nice. Could you scroll back down to that Cold Spring model? That's what essentially further, essentially what it would look like. But not that exact model, but that's exactly what it would look like. So.
Do you see these being sold as needed, or can they be pre-bought?
You could pre-buy them. But yeah, you always run the risk. I know there's one sitting over in Waterville that isn't near capacity. Been sitting there for quite a few years too, so that's just something we have to weigh out, and that's something we want to move forward with. But a pre-purchase, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, if we go with the $27,000 one, we only have to sell 12 or 13 of them, and we've made the money.
That's the other thing. Yep. Yep, your return would be a little quicker, and then as it does, hopefully, if it fills up and if it's used, then yeah, you can move forward with kind of adding another one in at that time.
I like the idea of going with that cheaper option because you put the families together, and it would be easy for the city to recoup their costs.
If there's two in there, it's double the fee, correct?
That's something I still haven't ironed out yet. Yeah.
What are you grinning about?
Double the fee.
They have both sides of the thing. You can put them in from the front or the back.
I think it'd probably be similar to like a regular plot where the first rate of interment is normal price, and then the second rate of interment is a little lower. Yeah.
I'm still hung up on the trailer to heaven.
Which half do you want cut off?
So is that a motion?
I motion for... the Nelson 4896 in Arctic white and the brown.
Are you going to pick the colors too?
If that's what Joe says is trendy, then why not?
Are they
trendy? Don't ask me about trends. Don't ask me about trends.
I'll second the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
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 King of style over here.
Great.
4-0.
They go yellow.
Anything else?
Nope.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
4-0. Meeting adjourned at 7:58.
Now we go out and see if the town is still here.